Welcome to the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast, a podcast exclusively for members of the Quilt Fiction Story Guild. I'm Frances O'Rourke Dow, and we're reading my work-in-progress friendship album, 1934. Thank you for joining us, and as always, thank you for being part of the Quilt Fiction community. Now, on to the story. Chapter 9. Dorothy Johnson had never been fat a day in her life. Like any woman, she'd put on a little padding after the change, just enough to keep her warm in the winter, as Wallace put it. All the same, she'd stayed more or less the same dress size for the last 25 years. But if she kept baking pies at the rate she was making them, she was going to have to start buying patterns for stout ladies. It was Florence's fault. Florence was the one who had insisted that whatever the tea room offered on any given day, there should always be a generous sampling of pies. 3 at least, she told Dorothy when they'd sat down to discuss the matter. I want our place to have a cozy feel to it. The setting will be pretty, but welcoming. Women who come to the tea room should feel like it's a treat, and it's not a treat if you feel out of place. So you think pie will make everyone feel right at home? Dorothy asked, unable to hide a smile. Florence gave a vigorous nod. Yes, we'll have cakes, of course, and little sandwiches. I got Cora to give me some of her recipes. She's always making such divine sandwiches. You know I've never done anything like this before. Dorothy pointed out for the third or fourth time since Florence had suggested she was exactly the right person to manage the quilting company's little cafe. I mean, of course I've made pie. Everybody and their mother has made pie. To my knowledge, my mother never made a pie, and I only made my first pie last year. I often think women who have been baking all of their lives take their skills for granted, as if it were nothing at all to produce a delicious cake or pie. Florence shook her head and sighed. That couldn't be farther from the truth, as I've learned the hard way. There are a million things you can only learn from experience, or by learning from an experienced baker. It wasn't until Daisy took me in hand that I realized all the mistakes I've been making. Overmixing, undermixing, not bringing this ingredient to room temperature, not making sure that that ingredient was chilled, and so on. There's a science to it, that's for sure, Dorothy agreed. But what I'm talking about is running a restaurant, or a tea room, or whatever we're calling this. It's a tea room, Florence affirmed. The tea room. The tea room, Dorothy repeated. I have experience with the individual parts of it, making tea and coffee, baking pies. And of course you won't be doing all of the baking, Florence put in. Eula and Maisie will be baking for you, maybe even Elise. I don't know about Elise, Dorothy said, quickly adding, bless her heart. Florence laughed. I have great sympathy for Elise's struggles in the kitchen. Eula has promised to supervise all of her baking efforts. I think the girl just wants to earn some pin money. There's so much to buy when a baby is on the way. Dorothy nodded, but didn't comment. She'd often wondered if Florence was sorry not to have children, especially since she was of an age where almost all of her friends would mostly likely have at least one or two. Of course, if she and Arthur got married, there would still be plenty of time for babies, but Dorothy had to admit there might not be as much energy. She'd had her children young and was glad of it. Florence clapped her hands as though she knew what Dorothy was thinking and wanted to put a stop to it. I don't know how managing a cafe, or managing anything for that matter, is different from managing a household. You have plenty of experience with that. I do indeed, Dorothy agreed. All those years working for Bess, it was like I had two households to manage, mine and hers. Although at Bess's house, we did a lot of the managing together. You were a good team, Florence said with a gentle smile. I hope that you and I will make for an equally good team. Now, I have several pie recipes I want you to try to see if you think they'd be popular with our customers. It would be at least 2 months, maybe even 3, before the tea room opened. Florence had met with an architect to discuss plans for renovating Building Number 5's first floor, and they'd scheduled the work to begin in early April, when the sewing machines would be moved upstairs and the large room would be divided into 3 separate spaces. Eventually, visitors entering Building Number 5 would find themselves in a lobby that would include a receptionist desk as well as an area to hang coats and bags and bundles. If they turned to the right, they'd encounter the Quilting Company's shop with its fabrics and patterns and kits. A turn to the left would reveal the tea room with its white tablecloths and its unusually generous selection of pies. While the architect's plans were being put into place, it was Dorothy's job to create a menu and experiment with recipes. Fortunately, she had help. Eula, of course, but also her granddaughter Alice, who considered herself a top pie expert. Florence had given her a pie budget, as she called it, and while Dorothy was frugal by nature, she allowed herself some extravagances in the name of experimentation. She might not normally buy citrus fruits, which ran high, but Florence wanted her to try baking a lemon meringue pie as well as an orange pie. Alice thought every pie that her grandmother made was delicious, especially if Alice had contributed to its making. Wallace, on the other hand, had his complaints. "Too much sugar," he'd said after Dorothy's first attempt at the lemon meringue. "The whole point of having lemon in a pie is to have a little bit of tartness to it. You drowned out the pie's intentions with all that sugar." "You act like I hurt the pie's feelings," Dorothy laughed. "I'm acting like that pie hurt my teeth." Now, breaking eggs in a bowl for a butterscotch pie, she wondered if she should bring pies to the bee tomorrow. Lord knew she had enough to share, and, after all, it wasn't unusual for someone to bring something to add to the host's table. Elise often showed up with her latest experiment, her expression always hopeful, as though this was going to be the cake or loaf of banana bread that finally lifted her above the level of rank beginner. She'd had a few successes, it was true, but you were always cautious taking a bite of one of Elise's cakes. You never knew what you might find inside it. You might even chip a tooth if luck was running against you. Elise was known to accidentally drop a few walnut shells in the batter on occasion. Maybe if it were any other week, Dorothy wouldn't think twice about arriving with a box full of pies. But tomorrow's bee was at Bess's house, and Dorothy thought that maybe she ought not to do anything but show up and act like everything was the same as it ever was. She didn't want to appear that she thought Bess and Edwina weren't up to the task of putting out a nice spread. On the other hand, she'd love to get everyone's opinion on this butterscotch pie she was about to bake. The recipe called for a pinch of nutmeg, and Dorothy didn't know how she felt about that. Nutmeg and butterscotch was an intriguing notion, but it might not play out on the tongue the same way it did on paper. It was at times like these she wished she lived closer to Eula, or that they both had phones. Neither of them did, but they agreed it might be time, what with grandbabies and new business ventures. She was glad that they'd both be working in Building Number 5 shortly. If some catastrophe happened in the tea room, she could just send someone to get the always calm and commonsensical Mrs. Baker. A knock sounded at the kitchen door. Dorothy cracked the last egg into the bowl and went to see who was there. Her next-door neighbor, Camilla Mathis, no doubt, come to borrow a cup of something. Hearing about Dorothy's baking escapades had put Camilla in the mood to make a few cakes of her own. But she was always short one thing, half a cup of sugar, a teaspoon of vanilla, and she knew Dorothy's cupboard was overflowing these days. Of course, what Camilla really liked to borrow was a moment or two of Dorothy's time to gossip about this and that. Mostly harmless things, though occasionally Dorothy had to remind her neighbor that some news just wasn't their business and was best left alone. "How can I help you today, Miss Camille?" Dorothy began as she opened the door, but then she stopped herself. Camille Mathis was nowhere to be seen. Instead, she found Bess Wilcox standing on her doorstep. "Surprise!" Bess sang out, a wide smile plastered across her face. "I hope I'm not intruding, but I've been looking high and low for that yellow tablecloth. You know which one I mean, with the embroidered milkmaids on it. And I simply can't find it. I thought maybe you would know." Her voice trailed off, and it occurred to Dorothy she was waiting for an invitation to step inside. "Come in, come in," she said, ushering Bess into the house. "I hope I can help you, but the last time I saw that tablecloth was, when? Last summer? You don't usually put it on the table in the winter." "I'm just so awfully tired of this gray weather," Bess explained. "I wanted to put out some summery things for the bee tomorrow." "Like those napkins with the strawberries?" Dorothy suggested. "Or how about the green federal glass tumblers? Those always make me think of warmer days." "Yes, exactly those sorts of things, and that tablecloth seemed exactly right. I can remember washing it at the end of last summer and hanging it out to dry." "Is it possible it's still in the ironing basket?" Dorothy asked, and she could almost see it. "Sometimes the bigger things and the things that aren't needed right away get pushed down to the bottom." Bess colored. "Oh dear, I wonder if that's what happened. I've been meaning for ages to get through everything, but you know how it goes." "Well, it's as much as my fault as it is yours," Dorothy consoled her. "I don't know why I was never better at digging through the basket to get to the tablecloths. I suppose by the time I finished Helen's dresses, it was time to get lunch or run to the store." Bess looked around the kitchen as though she'd forgotten where she was. "I've caught you in the middle of the great pie experiment, I see. It won't be long before you never want to see a pie again, much less eat one." "Well, I think you're right about that," Dorothy agreed. "Still, would you like a piece? I made a peach pie using canned peaches first thing this morning. It's not the same as peach pie made with fresh, but it's not bad." "Oh, I don't want to spoil my lunch," Bess said, and it seemed like she was about to say something else, but then she stopped herself and didn't speak for a moment. Finally, she looked at Dorothy and said, "I don't really need the tablecloth." "That's not the reason you came over?" Bess sat down at the kitchen table. "No, not really. I'm not really sure why I came over. Only I don't have anyone to discuss our shows with anymore. You know how Edwina is. If it's not Shakespeare or poetry, she doesn't want to hear it." "She put up with Clara, Lou, and Em when you were still there, but the minute you left, she went up to her room as soon as I turned on the radio." "Oh, that's too bad," Dorothy lamented. "Those shows aren't half so fun if you're listening all by yourself." "Do you still listen to them?" "Sometimes, if Mama comes over for lunch or I go over to her place. Though once the tea room opens, I suppose I won't anymore." "Florence should put a radio in the corner so that the ladies can listen while they eat." "Oh, she'd never do it. A radio isn't elegant enough." "But I bet you're right. Folks would love it. People love their stories." "They really do," Bess agreed, sounding forlorn. "I don't think the tea room will be open on Mondays," Dorothy pointed out. "So if you..." Bess brightened. "I could come over here? I mean, I wouldn't expect you to make lunch for me. I can pack my own lunch." "We could each make something. Maybe I can make us some nice soup and you could bring one of your nice dishes. I miss your chicken bake." "I miss your, well, everything." The two women smiled shyly at one another. Dorothy glanced at the clock on the wall. "Well, it's already 11:40. Why don't you help me with my pie, and then we'll make something simple and fast for lunch." "Something we could finish with by 12:30? Bess sounded excited, but then her face fell. I didn't bring my quilting with me. It won't be the same if I'm not stitching something.
Oh, I bet I can find you something to work on, Dorothy told her. Now come on, I need to get your opinion on nutmeg.
Thanks for joining us on the Quilt Fiction Story Guild podcast. We're reading Friendship Album 1934, a novel by Frances O'Rourke Dow, a production of Milton Falls Media, Incorporated. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved. Until next time, this is Frances O'Rourke Dow. Thank you for joining us.